Hey, Token CEO listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
I think if you put like my head of hair on Dallas Braden's head and his beard, you would have like the hairiest person on the planet. If you missed yesterday's episode, I actually think it was one of our best. We talked about female founders. We talked about what the fuck is going on with female leadership. And we looked at really four news stories in the headlines related to female founders and female CEOs. Today, we're talking about something totally different, which is baseball. And essentially, we're going to continue the what the fuck theme. So what the fuck is going on with baseball? So for anybody who doesn't know, there is a standstill between Major League Baseball owners and the Players Association. I can tell you one person who I bet is really tired right now, and that's Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred is the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and he's basically the only guy on the front line defending the owners and trying to steward slash protect slash finance the league. And he's taken a lot of heat from players. But you know what? I bet he would feel better if he did, is I bet he would feel better if Rob Manfred crashed in his like Manhattan penthouse on linens and hutch sheets. So linens and hutch sheets are incredibly soft. They're affordable. The owners are at risk of not making as much money this year. So affordable luxury is going to be important in Major League Baseball. They've got awesome colors and patterns. I bet you can find colors that match to every MLB team out there. And Rob Manfred or any of the owners could get a sick discount if they use code TOKEN. So you too can get a great discount or sheets that look like your favorite MLB team. If you go to linensandhutch.com and use code TOKEN, you can get 62% off. So today we have Jared Carrabas, the number one Red Sox fan on the planet, and Dallas Braden, former Oakland A's pitcher. For this episode, we're joined by Dallas Braden and Jared Carrabas, two opinionated motherfuckers. And what I like about the two of you is like, Jared is the consummate baseball fan. You've been a fan for your entire life. You wrote a book, I think, when you were in your early teens.
I was 18, yeah.
Yep. The Red Sox went after you for it because you used their copyright, which is one of the most fucking ridiculous things ever, but interesting. Yep. And then Dallas is the pitcher of the perfect game. You're joining us from Los Angeles. Jared, you're joining us from Boston, two big baseball towns. Mm-hmm. You obviously, I think, want baseball back. Everybody wants baseball back. Manfred last night is like basically begging for baseball to come back and being like, how the fuck did we get here? Like, what's happening? But if you're to break it down for us, like I'll give you my like rudimentary understanding and then you guys take it over. So baseball's almost an $11 billion business. So just to create context for how much money is at stake here, there is a ton of money at stake. Second of all, baseball seems to always be the sport with the player owner issues. Actually, before we even get into it, why does baseball have so many problems? I think it's because you're all grown as individual players, Dallas, and there's not like that. You're not like shoved in the locker room with the other hockey players, or you're not like, I don't know. What do you think it is?
Well, baseball is the most individualistic team sport, and you are rewarded as such, you know, regardless of your team winning a World Series or not. You're going to get paid should you perform. But there's also a very long and storied history between the union and ownership. You know, they didn't want to allow you to be actually compensated for what your worth was. They didn't want you to test a free market. And it's been acknowledged by one of the, I mean, TBS is who just signed a $1 billion deal, Turner Broadcast, right? Like, so it's just, it's been a long history of the ownership not wanting, allowing the players to be able to test the waters in a multitude of
things. And when you say test the waters, Dallas, what do you mean?
I'm talking about becoming a free agent. Ownership didn't want to allow players to be able to say, hey, you know what? I've served my time as a piece of property for you.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
I've now hit a point in time where I should be able to see who else is willing to pay for me. Mm-hmm. And owners were like, no. And Kurt Flood was like, yeah, actually going to need that to happen. And Marvin Miller at the time was going, yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right, Kurt. I'm going to go to bat for you. And Marvin Miller, in my and this is getting grandiose here, but I'm a romantic. Marvin Miller died for baseball and died for the free agent. Like, that's his life's work was based on allowing a player to be able to be compensated and valued for what he's actually worth, as opposed to just what the guy who originally signed him is willing to give him. That's not how this works.
Okay. So basically, and then Jared, I'll let you jump in. So not just shit on a sport that you guys love, but sounds to me like, okay, you've got individualistic players. Like, baseball's the only individual team sport. You've got like the figure skaters and the tennis people. They're all individuals. You've got the hockey people and the football, basketball people. They're team players. Then you've got a situation where owners had such a monopoly and so much control over the economics that they basically were trying to suffocate players and their ability to create higher income value for themselves. Mm-hmm. I think there's a third thing in this, which is that the MLB is an exceedingly controlled, exceedingly conservative organization. So that when you look at baseball players, we used to flirt with the MLBPA. Like, they liked us for a little while, I think, because they were getting ready to get mad at the owners, and who better mm-hmm. to like than Barstool in that process. Mm-hmm. But that if you were to see Mike Trout walk down the street versus a Tom Brady or a Kyrie Irving, insert any basketball player, insert any football player, nobody's recognizing Mike Trout. The marketing value, the awareness, the growth of the individual brands of players, I also think is paltry compared to other sports.
For sure. How many basketball players do we say? You could probably go down the list of the top 40 most popular NBA stars before you get to the first most popular MLB player. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, like, the NBA, what they do in terms of marketing their players.
So do you think that this goes back to the free agency? Like, do the owners not want to market the players because then the players become stars and then they want more money valuable from the owners?
Yeah, and it's because it's that, and then Major League Baseball doesn't have a salary cap. So it's like, it's all economics where it's like you have no salary cap and these players, I mean, Dallas, we were talking about it just like a few years ago, like how soon before we see a baseball player making $40 million a year? And it's like, well, that won't happen anytime
soon. I was laughed at and mocked.
I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but we're getting there. I mean,
why isn't there a salary cap?
I don't. I mean, like, that's just something where the players' union is just too strong to where I don't think you're gonna. Like, they're not going to agree to that. Like, the players want to get paid, and they can see what the revenue is. I think it was $10.9 billion last year, and it goes up they break the record every year in terms of, like, the revenue. So the players are going to want their cut of that. They see how much the owners are bringing in. They see how much the league is bringing in. And the economics of baseball, and, like, there's different statistics now to evaluate what a player is truly worth as an individual performer. So that number can be converted to a price tag. I want my cut because I know what you're getting. Now give me is what like they want. So I think it's only fair. And I don't think we'll ever see a salary cap in Major League Baseball. It's just not, it's not feasible. It's not what the players want.
Okay. So then flash forward to today. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Racial tension in this country is at a peak. People are depressed. The economy is extremely uncertain. We may be heading into a depression. People are sick. America needs something to hope for and love and live for. And we've got what? We've got players saying to the owners, you said you would pay us in full if these things happened or unless mm-hmm. these things happened. Mm-hmm. You have a huge debate over the number of games. So explain the context of what's happening right now.
So I think there was a big misconception with the agreement. So the page one, I think a lot of players didn't ever read the agreement, but page one of the agreement says, if we play baseball with fans in the stands, you get your full prorated salary. if there are not fans in the stands, then we have to negotiate in good faith what that rate is going to be. So now you have
this agreement, Jared.
Mid-March.
Okay. March 26th.
So now you have the players saying that the owners are not negotiating in good faith, and the owners saying the players aren't negotiating in good faith, when really it's the owners that are not negotiating in good faith. I think the solution, the video that I tweeted last night, there's your solution. Because if you have the players saying, all right, we understand that there's no fans in the stands, that's about 40% of your revenue. That's ticket sales, that's ballpark concessions, that's parking, whatever. So you don't have 40% of your revenue coming in. Well, the owners proposed, because the players wanted 82 games, full prorated salary. The owner said, all right, we'll do 76 and we'll give you 75% of your full prorated salary. So now if I'm the player, I know that you're willing to pay me 75% for 76 games. Where did that 25% go? Because we negotiated a contract. It's a guaranteed contract. Like, you have the fat fuck Pablo Sandoval. The Red Sox released him. He played zero games for the Red Sox. The Red Sox still had to pick up the price tag for him when the Giants signed him for league minimum, because it's a guaranteed contract.
Okay, so the tension, Jared, just to dumb it down for me, is, so the tension is basically that there are guaranteed contracts regardless, yep, of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And what the players are saying is a guaranteed contract is a guaranteed contract is, mm-hmm, a guaranteed contract, which is the world, frankly, I fucking live in. If you two, mm-hmm, stop producing your podcast or your numbers shit the bed, I still have to pay the two of you what I said I would pay the two of you, because I am a good owner. Now, what you're saying is happening in baseball is the owners are saying, hey, it's a time of hardship. In the ad business, it's force majeure, right? It's an act of God. Something crazy has happened and we can't pay you, mm-hmm, your guaranteed contract. And the, yep, players are basically saying, too fucking bad.
Yep.
And the Carrabba's solution is, okay,
deferred payments.
So the owners have basically said, we can afford to pay you 75% of your salary this, mm-hmm, year. And you're saying, hey, agree to pay me the other 25%, but you can amortize it out over the rest of my contract. Is that basically right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't even know what the set amount of time would be, well, but
I
if they defer,
yeah, I said four or five years,
pay me the rest of the 25%, because all you're saying is that you can't afford to pay me in full right now. You said 75% is the number that you're comfortable with, but that 25% should not just disappear. So pay that out, deferred payments over the next 5 years, and you get what you want. You pay me 75% prorated this year because that's what you can afford, and I still get my 100% of the prorated games that we were playing in 2020.
As an owner, you got to think about being able to, over that five-year period of paying folks out, you're still accruing interest to an extent over on that money as well. So it's not like your group is coming up completely short. You're earning interest on that money over that five-year period. Sure,
aren't we also talking about like billionaires? It's not like they're like, mm-hmm, like I'm trying to make payroll. Like, right. I don't see many MLB. I don't see the good people that own the Steinbrenners or whoever owns the Yankees. I don't think they're like,
right,
hurt for cash right now. Is that fair or not?
No, that's absolutely fair. And that's been my message, is for the folks who are like, well, how do you break this down to, like, you know, average Joe sort of understanding? Who's in a better position to take a hit during our entire fucked up global situation? You or your boss? And if your boss is somebody that's looking at you and asking you to help them pay another employee of theirs, essentially your coworker, then you need to do some reflecting and probably sit at home and maybe get high so you don't go and punch your boss right in the mouth for being a complete asshole and asking you to do that.
That was well put, Dallas. My other understanding is about the number of games. There's a huge debate over the number of games. So obviously cost the owner. The more games you have, the more cost you incur. So the owners want to keep the number of games relatively low. The players seem to get paid, or their contracts are somehow managed on a per game basis. Mm-hmm. So they want the max number of games. Does that factor into the Carrabba's solution, or where is that in this?
Yeah, so the owners have been angling for 48. The players have been angling for 82. There was that proposal for 76 at 75%. And now, like, the whole thing that Trevor Bauer was tweeting about last night, and then Christian Yelich even quote tweeted and said, hey, if you want to know what's going on, read this thread right here, was basically that, Rob Manfred is he's stalling, because if the owners want less games and you have, because now what you, if the players don't want to come back to the negotiating table, all Rob Manfred has to say is, well, I guess we won't have a season then. I guess we're just not going to play baseball. So now he's stalling for time, because if he runs out the clock, then it's not a matter of negotiating how many games, it's how much time do we have left to play X amount of games. So if you keep stalling for another 2 or 3 weeks, all you're going to have time for is the 48 game season that the owners wanted to play originally. So it's like, oh, whoops, sorry, ran out of time because we couldn't agree on anything.
And that's why the players union has said what they've said. Okay, because these faithful negotiations just haven't existed. You've continued to come back with the same pig, just a different scent of perfume on it. We understand that nothing is changing here. So we are going to exercise our right to say, we will wait for you to exercise your right to implement the season. Unilaterally, you have told the world that you have that power to impose. Think about that language. Like, I'm somebody who reads between the lines. I pay attention. You use that word impose for a reason. You want to flex your muscle. That's cool. So I'll let you impose your season and we'll just wait. You tell us when and where. And now the owners, they're like, oh, you know what? I don't like that idea, because if we do that, they will be able to file a grievance because we have not negotiated in good faith. And you know what? They have a case. So here's our proposal. X, Y, and Z, but also you can't file a grievance. Sound good? And you know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a whole lot of guys have gotten together and gone, gentlemen, it appears that our shady behavior is going to be abundantly clear, even through litigation, even in a court of law, it's going to look shady, and we cannot allow them to exercise their legal right. That could be damaging for us. So we're going to have to come up with, you know, throw that little clause in there.
How high is the risk that they end up soon in court?
Ooh, I think we're getting close to that, but this is really, it's should or get off the pot time, because I'll say this much, the players do have the ability to maybe throw one more final solution out there that could involve a 100% prorated amount of games without us taking you to court. And when I say us, I'm saying the players, the current players, without the players taking you to court. So if the owners want to agree to, I don't know, a 72 game season at 100% prorated pay, and knowing that they won't be taken to court for anything, any shady behavior, then yeah, I think there might be a solution.
Guys, sorry, when you say prorated, you just mean paid for the amount of season that's run. Is that
correct?
Right? Is that what you mean? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, guys. So then what happens with the media rights? So shit rolls downhill. We know that. So the owners make money from concessions and the gate and blah, 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 merch, all that shit. But they also get paid hefty sums from the RSNs and the media companies for the broadcast rights. So what's your sense of where that lives right now?
Some teams own their own broadcasting companies. Not every team does that. Some of them have like the national or the regional branches. Like, I know like Philly is NBC. Like, you have what, the Bay Area NBC?
Yeah, like I also work for NBC Sports Bay Area. So that's an extension, a regional extension of a national.
So branch. NBC pays the A's then.
I believe that, yes, there's
that a probably right for the games.
Yes, absolutely.
And they get a certain number of games that are only broadcast on NBC, NBC Bay Area, whatever that looks like.
Correct. Yes.
Is that right?
And
then, okay.
Yes. And the Athletics also have developed their own app. So you can
watch the game on the app.
Listen and watch the game, exclusive 24-hour Oakland A's streaming content, like all A's all the time. It's called A's Access.
So basically then, guys, the way it works is the player is like, fork over the cash. You make money however you want to make money on this whole thing. You make money from merch. You make money from ticket sales. You make money from broadcast rights. You whatever, right? You make money through your app. We don't care. You go make money. But you pay me my money, and you're paying me, and you're doing your money ball and blah, 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 so that you get a winning championship team.
Yep.
And the owners are basically saying, ooh, we got a tough year. We're going to lose 40% on the gate. the broadcast money or the RSN money may be in jeopardy unless we own it. But if we own it, we're not getting any ad dollars. So we're feeling pinched.
Right.
And the players are basically like, too fucking bad. You said you would pay me. A deal is a deal. I have a finite span of my career. I am in the prime of it. I'm sidelined right now. I only have two more years where this is going to work for my shoulder. And they're at a standstill. Is that fair, Jared?
Yeah. So the other thing too, on the player side of things, Max Scherzer was the guy that said, open the books on the owners.
And Max Scherzer is a, tell us who he is.
He is a perennial Cy Young candidate who often wins that Cy Young award. So he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He just won the World Series with the Nationals, and he's been a veteran in this league. He has a big money contract. He's probably like the premier example of a big money contract that actually panned out.
Okay, so he doesn't have an agent. Like in football, there's like that one power agent that does everybody's contract.
Scott Boras is the baseball guy.
Oh, he's the base. Scott Boras. That's right. Yeah. Scott Boras is the baseball guy. Everybody thinks he's a dick or he's fabulous. What's the deal?
Both.
Okay, great.
That's why he's fabulous.
He's a fabulous dick. One hell of a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's why
everybody can learn something. Okay. Yeah. So Scott Boras is sitting with the Cy Young guy from the Nationals.
Is Scherzer a Boras guy?
But it doesn't matter. Boras is in the mix.
Yeah, Boras is definitely for sure in the mix.
And they're screaming at each other on Zoom all day. So they're like the face of the players. And you're saying that like Yelich and Bryce Hart, everybody's starting to get a little noisy on Twitter. But I would imagine these guys, they're probably playing like rock, paper, scissors with you. And there's only a certain number of them yelling and screaming at each other on Zoom.
Yes.
So who's doing the owner thing? Is it just Manfred or like, is it the commissioner? Like who's in the owner's box?
Oh man. I mean, yeah, it would have to be Uncle Manfred. That's kind of being like the mouthpiece for them. I don't know. Like there's no Jerry Jones of the MLB. Like there's no like colorful major league baseball owner. There's no Mark.
Till A-Rod comes along.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because these are not forward facing individuals, Erica.
Right.
These are not people who are getting booed. They don't care.
They don't want to be.
Oh, they don't give it. No. Don't get it twisted.
They're so rich, they don't care.
What? Yeah, what the fuck? I don't care.
I'm so pedestrian, Dallas.
Yeah, you hate me on the way to the bank? I don't care. I don't care. And that's how they feel. Like, come on. Like, your life is based around you rooting for this team. Like, you know, you've got family members getting buried in the colors of the team that I own with my ashtray money. Like, I don't care. Yeah. I just don't care. That's how the owners are. That's how they've been able to shield themselves off and insulate themselves from any sort of public opinion. And I made this point earlier today. Back in the day when all this conversation was going on, it was about the writers and the, you know, media outlets putting out the story, shaping it how they'd see fit. And then that's all the public had to chew on. Well, the minute that a statement gets dropped today, that information is in the hands of every fan that chooses to seek it out. You're getting hit over the head with that information. So it's a matter of seconds to minutes before fans are able to deduce and break down the scenario and weed through all the bullshit. They don't have to wait on their favorite writer who's going to biasly write the story.
Yeah. You're yapping, Jared's yapping, the players are yapping, 16-year-olds are like, anybody who cares about baseball is talking about baseball. Now, this brings me to I think the biggest concern or the biggest risk, I would say, of all is that you look at my guys, the Rabels, right, where they're trying to create an upstart lacrosse league. Lacrosse is a super niche sport. It is like a pimple on the ass of baseball. Mm-hmm. Not even if they were lucky on the best season, best day ever. Mm-hmm. And they've like signed an NBC contract to play this summer. They're like, we're coming back. We're going to play. We want to give some people something to watch. Sports make people hopeful and optimistic. The thing that I find so not hypocritical in baseball, because I don't think this is a hypocritical situation unless there's nuance of that in the negotiation, but is that of late, baseball has been about growing the game. Like the average age of your TV viewer of baseball is like in his 60s.
Yeah, I think it's 57.
Oh, well, whatever, close. Yeah. I think it's older than that, Jared. I'm gonna take the over.
Okay.
I'll take the over. And then the other issue you have is like, I think there's a lot of issues in baseball. Like, how do you get young people to watch it? I mean, I find Jared to be like one of the biggest freaks on the planet. Like, getting young people to sit and be obsessed with something that runs however many hundreds of games a year, which is what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And then that lasts so long, that is pastoral and that it's so slow. Like, what do you think this does? Like, I feel like Americans are like still a little bitter from all the strikes with baseball in the past. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you think I'm off?
No, I think that the any type of even if they come back, I still think people are going to be bitter. Like, people are going to be bitter that they didn't come back soon enough. Like, I don't think that that's going to deter diehards from sitting down and watching, because I was talking to Kevin about this on CCK today, because I think it was more along the lines of, you know, baseball fans have the most diehard fans. And then, you know, we got into football fans. Well, football fans are rowdy. It's like, yeah, they're rowdy, but you can watch a football game on Sunday and then go about your week. Like, you don't have to worry about your team for six more days. Baseball, it's like, it's a commitment. There's 162 of these fucking things, and it's every single night for 4 hours minimum. So, like, the people that are committing that type of time from their lives to watch a baseball team, like, that's a real life commitment. Like, we were talking about how, like, I turned down wedding invitations because I'm like, yeah, like, don't even fucking bother inviting me. Like, the Red Sox and Yankees, the Yankees are in town.
I know. I like feel for your mother. I feel like I need to, I'm like, is he ever settled down with someone? He's never like obsessed with baseball.
Like, never. I mean, like, they just have to get it. Either they get it or they don't.
I know. Yeah.
It's, and most of them, you're never going to believe this, Erica, they don't get it. So,
like, shocking, Jared.
Yeah, but look, Dallas is a married man. Dallas had married two kids. Like, there are crazy women out there that think like this is an acceptable way to live your life. And
I
you know
think
what?
It's just because Dallas is so highly entertaining when baseball is not on.
That's true. When baseball's not on for me, I'm just like a robot that shuts down.
Yeah, you're like blogging for Barstool Sports. Dallas is like plying his women with like beautiful California sunsets and hot tub video.
I'm harvesting fresh honey produced by the rare Italian honeybee. You know, I'm a man. I'm a fucking Renaissance man over here. No,
that's true.
I think what we're gonna see too is a. We are still in a very rare position to be able to take advantage of everything that has gone on. And you want to talk about spin zone? We have beaten the shit out of the game. We have smacked fans across the face as many times and as hard as humanly possible with baseball, no baseball. Like, it's just
cheating scandals.
Cheating scandals.
Oh, all of it, right?
I forgot about that.
So if we still were able in some way to be able to stumble to a starting line and provide baseball, people would just, I think, be, it would be a big, huge collective exhale. And I think we would just allow it to distract us for however long we would have it for. And, and that would be, I think that's where a lot of fans are right now.
I think that's very well put. I forgot about the steroids, all sorts of shit in that sport.
That's why Major League Baseball had like a running start into the season because
I
of the storylines.
It would be so great.
Like, you talk about like the NBA and their ability to market their players in their league. They have a bunch of storylines. Major League Baseball had an awesome storyline going into this year with the Astros cheating scandal. And now like everyone forgets about that. No one even talks about it. It's just now we're arguing over millions of dollars.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. That was awesome. Final things you think people need to know?
Don't let the posturing that goes on through the media discourage you if you're a baseball fan into believing that there won't be a season. I still think that there's a 90% chance that we'll have baseball in some capacity this year.
Yeah, and Epstein didn't kill himself.
Oh, that documentary.
I did.
Oh, yeah.
What's your percentage, Dallas? What do you think percentage that it's going to happen?
He's been zero for months now, so I don't know. If he comes up from zero, then that's a huge improvement.
In my heart, it's bubbling because I want to believe that somebody's going to just shake the shit out of the owners and go, look, 72, let's go, let's get it done. And I feel like somebody's going to be able to get through to them and explain to them what I've been explaining, like, hey, you don't have the freedom of like 3 days of people trying to figure that people already know what this looks like. So let's make a move. So I will come up from 0%. I'm not ready to go full 1% though. I'm not.
Okay. Wow. All right. We're at 90% and sub 1%, which is probably why you guys have a great podcast.
Yep.
So when is it going to resolve? When are we going to know more? Are we just watching and waiting?
We are waiting. It's a staring contest right now.
Yeah. We're in a staring contest.
Just take a look at the calendar, figure out when the date would be that would allow 48 games to effectively be played.
Yeah, okay, give us like 2 to 3 weeks out from that and right around there.
Yeah.
Okay, when do you think that date is? Let's play another game. When do you think that date is?
Well, they already said September 27th is the date that they would conclude the season because they're already anticipating a second wave of the coronavirus to wipe out the postseason, which if there is a postseason, there's a lot of money to be had in the postseason. Well,
88% of the revenue is postseason.
Yes. So if this is all over money and they're anticipating the postseason getting wiped out by the coronavirus, then that's dollars that they're factoring in already being lost. So now we have, what was it, six to eight owners are already privately saying they don't even want a season to happen.
Okay. So that's the hedge. The like the silent thing in this is the second wave.
Yeah.
And the owners are hedging because all of their money comes from that last, how many weeks is it, Jared? Month?
It's a month.
It's about a month.
And the more games that are played during the postseason, the more revenue created.
So they want a shorter regular season, longer postseason.
Yeah.
Cannot have a postseason in a second wave. So their hedge right now in our percentage game is if the coronavirus is coming back.
Yes. And they've already conveniently last night after the whole like 5 days later, Rob Manfred walks back 100% confident. They leaked that players have tested positive for coronavirus.
Of course.
Imagine that.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. I need one thing, which is I don't know if it's going to be baseball related, but I need one fucking good thing from each of you.
One fucking good thing, Erica, for me is I have spent time in my streets out here in Los Angeles, California, marching and protesting amidst all the bullshit that's going on in our country. And the one fucking good thing I can take away from it is unequivocally, I am one of the oldest sumbitches running around in these streets with them, which is awesome because I have said it before and I'll say it again. Our future is in their hands, and the people that I'm seeing eye to eye, the people that I'm walking with, the people that I'm listening to, they're younger than me and as passionate, if not more. And that's one good fucking thing I can hold on to day in and day out.
Gives you hope.
I can't top that, Erica.
You're going to have to.
All right, I'm going
to
try. So 2 weekends ago on Sunday, I went to my best friend's 2-year-old's birthday party.
Okay.
And you know what, Erica Nardini? I got baby fever. I'm ready to I don't know if it's gonna be with a girlfriend or a wife or just like
a volunteer.
Yeah, hashtag single dad. I mean, I'm ready to get out there and have me a little baby rocket. So it's my biological clock is ticking and those TikToks are very loud.
All right. You might want to watch a little bit less baseball. So maybe, Jared, this is the season for you.
Yeah. You never will. I mean, I got 9 months to kill. So
now the goal is we get Jared to winter ball and he's able to marry a cheerleader from winter ball because that's a girl who loves the game. And I feel like that's the best shot we got.
Right. I have a fabulous woman who I have a lot of respect for who is married to a baseball player. And it's not a bad life.
Not a bad life. I mean, it's basically like you are married to a baseball player. I just don't have any of the talent or ability. Same lifestyle though. You still gotta watch the kids when I'm on the road, you know?
That's right. I hear you. These guys have a ton of say. They actually have unique perspectives, both coming from a fan perspective and from a former player perspective. I think there's a lot to it'll be interesting to see what happens with Major League Baseball. I'm obviously rooting for and hoping that there's a season. It'll be interesting to see whether that happens or not and what the factors are that will be at play. While you're waiting to figure out what's happening in Major League Baseball, you can clean your office or your home. So we've got a brand for you. It's called Cam Sanitize. They're a Stooley-owned business. My gut is they're probably Red Sox fans. They're cleaners. They clean commercial properties. They do an awesome job of it. They make sure that everything is disinfected. It's all safe. It's EPA registered. It's hospital grade disinfectant. Like these guys are the Mac Daddy of office cleaners. If you go to camsanitize.com, that's CAMSSAN ITIZE.com or call 866-41-CLEAN. You can get 15% off if you use code Barstool, and you can get your office or your resident cleaned spick and span. All right. And that's it for today's episode. So if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, give us a rating. We really appreciate it.